God, we love you. We thank you. We celebrate who you are and what you have done in our lives. And for your presence in our lives every day, we say thank you. And we just ask for more. Ask for more of your favor. And that your favor would spill out of us into our communities. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started looking at experiencing divine favor last week. And what I wanted to talk about today was favor beyond your dreams. Favor beyond your dreams. So what kind of favor are you dreaming for? What are you asking God for? What are you... So if he's favor, if somebody's favorable towards you, you can safely assert that they like you. And they're probably going to do what they can to help you should you need it. And I need to tell you this, that God's favor is unfolding in your situation right now. And you might be sitting thinking, you don't know my situation. But I know this much, that if you are giving your situation to him, then his favor is unfolding in it. And that might not happen overnight. And sometimes we just need to be persistent and persevere for what it is that God is bringing into our lives. And so if you have a Bible, would you turn to 2 Samuel? Second Samuel, chapter 22, verses 17 to 20. And it says this. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And you might be in a situation like this, where you're up against a powerful enemy. You don't know what to do. They might be too strong for you. And then when things are already bad, your enemies become even stronger and things seem to be getting even worse. And then it says, but the Lord was my support. If you need support, there's one place to turn to, and that's him. Because he wants to support you. He wants to uphold you. He wants to pour favor into your situation. The New Living Translation translates that last verse like this. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. God delights in you. He thinks you're great. And if you're here, it probably suggests to me that at some point in your past that you gave your life to Jesus. And when you did that, he already favoured you before then, because he created you in his image. But when you decided to follow him with everything that you have, he delighted in you. Because that is a time of joy and a time of delighting for him. Because all he has ever wanted is for you to have relationship with him. He's jealous for you. He does not want you giving your time to anything or anyone else. He made you for him. And that sounds really, really selfish, doesn't it? And he's not a selfish God. He's a jealous God. But he made us in his image for a reason. We all have choices to make. Every day, we have choices. But let me ask you a question. Who sets the trials in your life? And lots of people believe that it's God. They'll say that God set the trials in your life. They believe that he sets up the difficulties to teach you character. But in theological terms, that's called theistic determinism. You don't need to fully grasp everything about what that means, but here's the thing. This has never been the accepted viewpoint of the church historically. Ever. Because that stands in opposition to free will. You're given free will. So, should you choose to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, this is a wonderful thing. And you continue the rest of your life in just blissful adoration of who he is. But should you choose not to and to deny his existence or the fact that he is wanting to be involved in your life and you worship something or someone else or whatever, he still loves you. But he loves you that much that he's gave you the opportunity to have free will. Therefore, you are not, what you do in your life has not been God determined. You have the freedom to choose. So theistic determinism just means that what decision you make has been determined by God. Therefore, you're a robot. We don't believe that. You have free will. You have the opportunity to make whatever decision you decide to make, what you think is the best idea at that time. And it's the idea that God sends everything into your life because he's a purpose for everything. He has got a plan for your life, as we know from the trendy verse. And God does work out his purpose in all things. But that doesn't mean that God sends all things for a purpose. We can overcome insurmountable odds. And human beings are notoriously resilient. And we overcome the odds. And just this week, somebody sent us a wee message yesterday, a video, and it was Michael McIntyre. And Michael McIntyre's funny, but I never realised he was this funny. And I was in hysterics yesterday, it was great. And he was talking about accents. But the thing that really got me going is he did the Belfast accent. But whenever you do the Belfast accent, I think of Belfast, I always automatically think of Glasgow. And you think how resilient people are. You look at Belfast. What was Belfast 50 years ago? What was Belfast most famous for? Shipbuilding, did somebody say? What is it most famous for now? No shipbuilding, is it?
Ship sinking.
Well, you know, I didn't even want to mention that, not being from your fair island. But But anyway, that leads me into a whole new sphere of thinking where, you know, we have this Titanic museum thing. And it just shapes, it kind of shows the mentality of Irish and Scottish people because we're very, very similar. That we celebrate a ship that sank.
Well, it was okay when it left us.
And so, but because we don't have that much to celebrate, so we take anything we can and celebrate it. And I just really struggle with that. But you look at Belfast was really well known, renowned for shipbuilding. Brilliant for that. Glasgow was the exact same. Belfast isn't famous for shipbuilding anymore. neither is Glasgow. And so what happened is that people from Belfast and people from Glasgow pretty much had to reinvent themselves. One of the things that they do that with is with humour. Because they're able to make fun of themselves. And you have to, can you imagine if you didn't have a sense of humour? You'd be jumping into the water, wouldn't you? And you'd be like, and they just get on with it. And they are, so human beings are really, really resilient. And we can overcome things. But we can overcome things even more when Jesus is in our lives. We can come up against even stronger, insurmountable odds and still overcome. Because he is in our lives. And God is unlocking his favour in your life. And you might be sitting thinking, oh, John, I really wish that were true. But I'm telling you this morning that it is. It is true. And if we read through the Psalms, if you read through that passage in Samuel that we just looked at, you especially look at the life of David. And you prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. You imagine? You imagine you're into a battle and a big table gets spread out in front of you for you to sit and eat the best possible dinner you could ever imagine. You prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. That's just ludicrous. You sit at this big, well set out, laid out table and eat your favourite dinner. And your enemies are all charging around about you. God can provide that in your life. Because that's what he has for you. Favour. And we know that God is good all the time. And that all the time God is good. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. He delights in you. It doesn't matter what you do. He wants you to spend time with him and relate to him. But he delights in you. He made you so that he can delight in you. And so when he looks at you, he delights in you. God brings us out of the narrow places in our lives because he's delighted with us. And if you find that you're in a narrow place at the minute, ask. Ask for him to take you out of the narrow place. Ask for him to be delighted with you and bring you into a broad place. If your personal conviction is that God is for you and that his favour rests upon you, then you'll get through your hardships. But you don't, it's no, I think therefore I am, do you know, it's no like that. But it's what the Bible teaches us. And so, you can get through it. But you need to have him with you as you go through. It will make it easier. You will still go through difficult times. But you have him with you as you go through it. Because his favour is being released into your life. Jesus endured the cross. I know Jesus was God just before anybody puts in that wee quip. He was. But he was also a man. But he had joy set before him. There's joy set before you. By the look on some people's faces, you wouldn't realise, but there is joy set before you. There really is. And the Lord delights in who you are. In Hebrews 12 verse 2 it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. He knew that he would be seated with his Father again. Because he was before. And he knew he would be again. And he saw the bigger picture. And we're no big picture viewers. We focus on specific little bits. We like to say, I'm focused. I pay attention to detail. But sometimes we need to step back for the detail and see the bigger picture. And we don't always know how to do that. Somebody said this, and I really like this. If you don't realise that there is a moment of favour in your future, you quit too soon. I like that. If you don't realise that there is a moment of favour in your future, you quit too soon. Sometimes we're too quick to throw in the towel. Let me ask a serious question. How many know it's possible to quit in a season of struggle? I know. But what you need to know and what you need to believe is that there is a God that favours you and can bring you into that spacious place. He's crying out for you to ask him. He is passionately pursuing you, asking him to take you into that spacious place. That's what it says. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights me. He brought me out into a spacious place. God wants to take you into a spacious place. A spacious place is a place where you're no uptight, where you're no up against it, where everything is coming down on top of you, or it feels as if it is, but you're in a spacious place. And God wants to take you there. Because he delights in you. And you have to believe that there is a God who favours you and brings you into a spacious place. That's what he has for you. And God's favour in your life is unlocking your future. Things might look tight. But have you asked him about your future? And sometimes we focus on the present rather than what's ahead. And God has a plan to make your life favourable. And you might think, well, right now, John, the way is narrow. Maybe it is. But the way on is broad. And that's the truth. If you look at the life of Joseph, the dreamer, Joseph in Genesis. Everything seemed to be going so well, didn't it? I mean, even if you've seen the film Prince of Egypt, it kind of highlights it there. But if you've read the story, things seem to be going so well. He gets put to be second in charge of the whole kingdom. Only Pharaoh is above him. And then he ends up in prison. Things look grim. Shares a couple of dreams with people they tend to forget. Then eventually he gets out again. And you're just like, oh. Do you know, and then the hardships that he goes through. But within 24 hours, everything turns around, doesn't it? Or you look at Mordecai in the book of Esther. He's for getting done. And Esther's a brave woman. A great woman. And because she stands up for what she believes in, and she speaks it, within 24 hours, Mordecai's life has turned around. Who's to say? It's just about 24 hours for you. Might be less, might be more, but divine favour can take you anywhere God wants you to be. Anywhere. Because you look at Joseph's life, and then you look at where it ended up, and you're like, whoa! That's a transformation. Isn't it? And here's this is a statement, but I'll make it anyway. Divine favour is unleashed in his time. And he is just waiting to unleash divine favour upon you. And it's this is what it's like. But it's just as people are on the verge of experiencing God's favour, they quit. Just that close, just ready for God to unleash that favour, to put you in that spacious place, and we quit. Because we don't see the big picture. As Jesus took our place, we also became recipients of God's favour. Because Jesus was without sin, and he gladly took ours upon himself. That's favour. Amazing favour. And here's the thing. God is all over your future. The favour that you have experienced isn't he just at the time you received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. There is favour for your future. Favour only means something when we don't quit. Yeah, I think Alan and Catherine at Cosby Coast Vineyard, when they left Glasgow in 1999, I remember the day well, and I helped them to pack, and they had Roy's car was there, and then with the trailer, and then they had their car, and we were gutted. We were gutted because they were our friends, but we were excited for what God had for them in the future. And so they moved, and they moved to Port Stewart, which is gorgeous. And so they started Cosby Coast Vineyard. And whenever you think of Cosby Coast Vineyard, you're like, whoa, amazing. Oh, what a place. Have you been there? It's fantastic. And it really is. But for the first 9 months, they had six people in their living room. And I wonder if they ever felt like quitting. Because they had six people. And when I say that they had six people, they had Alan and Catherine. They had Catherine's mum and dad. Then they had Janet, who's Catherine's sister. And they had Mark, who's Catherine's brother. And you're thinking it's a family affair. This is just a family meeting in a living room. And Alan's married into that family. And they could have been like, oh man, what kind of impact are we having here? For 9 months or 6 years. And then you have this time where Jay joined them. And so they ended up with seven. But for 9 months, sick people. And I think it would have been really easy to quit. And being in the vineyard and people, we're a church planting movement. And you hear people planting new churches in different parts of the UK and Ireland, and then all of a sudden you hear that they shut because they quit. And I often think, six people in your living room for 9 months, imagine they'd quit. Imagine. Because Causeway Coast Vineyard, in terms of vineyard in Ireland, leads the way. But not just in Ireland, in the UK, throughout the world, everybody's ranting and raving about it. Can you imagine they'd quit because they'd 9 people? Where? What about the favour of God that was upon them? Thankfully they didn't, and they kept going. Favour will come if we don't quit. Who do you think of when we talk about going through in trials? If you think about somebody that has went through trials and you're like, man, if I had gone through that, I would never have been able to sustain this. Who do you think of? I think of Job. And when we think about Job, we always think about the trials that he went through. Quite rightly so. I mean, must have been challenging. His wife and everything. Gone. But what about the end of his story? And you know, I never hear anybody talking positively about Job. So I was, oh, have you ever read about Job? Oh. And it's always depressing. It's never exciting. But I want you to think about it differently. Let's turn it on its head. Look at the favour of God in Job's life. And in Job 42 verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. If you read Job, I'll give you the cheats where you read it. I think you read the first 2 chapters and then the last chapter, and you get the whole essence of the story. And the other chapters in between are just a conversation between him and 4 other people and God. And so if you do that, but Job was wealthy. Job had a lot. He was a wealthy fella, and he lost everything. And then it says in Job 42:10, after Job had prayed for his friends, because he could have slagged them off. He could have cursed them. He could have cursed God, and he could have said whatever he said, and he didn't. Then he prayed for his friends, thinking they're the ones that should have been praying for him. He prayed for them. The Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much. Now, this is not about stuff. It's about favour. That's favour. He might not have been thinking it was favour when he was going through what he went through. When he was in a narrow place. But when he came into that broad place, God blessed him. Poured favour upon him. And he did not quit. If you hold on in the place where you could lose everything, God will see to it that you never lose anything. But you must hold on. How much do you trust him? This is a serious question. I go away. Think about that. How much do you trust him? Do you? Do you really trust him? Do you trust him with everything in your life? You can sometimes tell someone's life experiences by their life expectations. What do you expect out of life? What are your expectations? And people's experiences in life usually govern their expectations. You need to change them. If you trust completely, 100% in him, your expectations need to change. because he has favour for you. When Jesus delivered us from our past, he also announced favour over all your future. I love that. He announces favour over your future. But we miss it so much. And he's just waiting to unleash his favour on you. Are you delighting in him? Because the narrow place is temporary, not eternal. We know what we have eternally, which is exciting. And here's another statement. When God's favour comes upon your life, the enemy can't keep you out of it. It explodes over your life. The divine favour uplifts you in the sight of other people. Psalm 31:19. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. Are you trusting in him? Are you putting everything in him? Well, when you do that, what he's going to do is that he is going to bestow those things, those good things upon you in the sight of everybody. Because so many times I have heard people who are no Christians talking about people who are Christians saying, man, have you ever seen that? They just seem to be getting on with God. They don't mention God, but everything seems to go right for them. Everything seems to be good. It's just wonderful. It's fantastic. Wonder why that is. And you're kind of like, don't know. God's in their life. And he is bestowing that upon them in sight of everybody. And have you ever known somebody like that? Have you ever wondered how they get that? It might be that you're witnessing divine favour when you look on them. And I don't think God has favourites. I think that's for everybody. Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. He wants to crown you with glory and honour. Look at the life of Daniel. We'll move through this quite quickly, but he was elevated and given influence. Divine favour. And in Daniel 1 verse 9 it says that God caused the official to show favour and compassion to Daniel. So Nebuchadnezzar's the king. He thinks he's in charge of everything and he's like, I'll see what happens. And Daniel's kind of like, nah. You see, while you think you're in charge and while you think you're like the ultimate king, we worship the ultimate king, who's the king of kings and the lord of lords, and he's really in charge. And therefore, what he says goes and not what you say goes. And then Nebuchadnezzar ended up favouring Daniel, because the favour of God was all over Daniel's life. And divine favour leads to unprecedented opportunity. As God's favour continues to unfold on us here, what we're going to start to see is unprecedented opportunity. You watch. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that we will have unprecedented opportunity. That might be local level in the town. I don't think it'll still be just that. Countywide, maybe. But I think it'll be further than that. Because divine favour leads to unprecedented opportunity. We're going to see that. We're going to experience that. And we're going to be a huge part of that. But we just need to keep delighting ourselves in him. But that's what I want. But it's not that I want it. I think that's what God has for us. And we need to just keep walking in that. That's what he has for you. And when God begins to favour your life, he opens doors that you could never begin to open alone or believe. That's what he has. That's meant to be exciting. It's meant to be good. And here's what I'm going to finish up now with saying this. There's people in this room, and God has given you promises and plans for your life. They don't make any sense. And you think, nah, how on earth could God do that with me? I can't become that or do that. Here's what the truth is. That doesn't make any sense to you whatsoever. At all. But you know what it does make? It makes perfect sense to God. There's a wee verse in Corinthians where it says that he chose the foolish things to shame the wise. Doesn't it matter what you think you are or who you are or what you amount to? It's what God is putting into your life. He's changing that. He has got things for you that might not make any sense to you whatsoever, but all it takes is one person extending you favour to give you the break that you need to put you over the top. You don't have to be favoured by everybody to get your break in life. You just need the right person at the right time. You'll never realise your dreams in life by hard work alone. It'll take many masterstrokes of favour being extended towards you at major milestones in your life. Hard work's great. Hard work and sheer determination will get you far. But at some points in your life, you look, who watches The X Factor? Simon Cowell is ruthless at points on that. But Simon Cowell only got to where he is because of one other person who managed at one point just to give him that wee nudge and that wee bit of help he needed. Do you know who that was? Louis Walsh. That's why Louis Walsh is still on X Factor. They were talking about it last night. Who has done more episodes of X Factor? And it was Louis. Considerably more than Simon has. And why is he still there? Because you're thinking, Louis, why are you on this? Because he helped Simon when Simon had nothing. Louis is successful at what he does. You just look at some of the bands that he's been involved with and that he's managed. He got them where they got to. So he is good. And he gave Simon the foot up that he needed. Simon was doing the whole hard work and determined thing. But Louis extended favour to him at a major milestone. And if he hadn't, Simon would have lost that what he had, which wasn't much. And then you look at him now, and that's why he is so favourable towards Louis. And it only takes one person at one point in your life to help you get to that place. And I believe that God divinely ordains that person to be there at that point in your life. A day of favour is worth more than years of labour. And so here's what I believe that God is saying, is that we've not to be quitters. The quitters don't believe that God's grace is sufficient. Do you believe his grace is sufficient? Serious question. Because if his grace is sufficient, then you don't ever have to quit. Because his grace being sufficient means it never ever ends. It keeps going and going and going and going and going and keeps going. And if you believe that his favour, that his grace is sufficient, then you don't need to quit. And here that last sentence and we stop. Or I stop. And it's this. His favour isn't just for glory. He can't help but spill it. I don't know about you, but I hope that he keeps spilling his favour. And that there may be a few bigger spillages coming up. And I pray that for you and for me and for everybody. But here's what I'm going to do, and this is kind of unprecedented for what we normally do, but I'm going to ask you this. If you know, or if you really, really want to experience some divine favour, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then here's what I'm going to encourage us to do. No, it's all right. We pray. Father, I thank you so much. Your word says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And Lord, we stand before you now, poor in spirit, recognizing our need for you. We ask for your favor, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But Father, we ask for extravagant favor. We ask for the favor that gets us over those milestones in our lives. Would you bless us in a way that we recognize that your grace is sufficient and that we need never quit, and at the times when we feel like quitting, we just ask for more favor, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.